T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Yeah, baby. It is Wednesday 8. Got it. I don't know what Carolina's going to do at 33. I don't know.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
Infinity. That's what I thought it was from the beginning.
That's what I meant to do. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rob Brown Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network in the Fan Upstate. It's Infinity. I'm gonna lose it over here today. I'm going to lose my mind today.
I'm just trying to help.
No, I know. I think my cans have kicked the can.
Try the other thing.
No, it's the wire in the headphone.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I'm trying to help you troubleshoot.
No, and I appreciate it.
We're breaking a rule here, but this is like
I know what
faulty equipment.
The problem is, I know what the issue is, and I can't. I can't fix it.
And you won't.
No, it's not that I'm cheap.
How old are those headphones?
I bought them when I got here.
Okay,
so
they look like you
years.
Swiped them from your last station.
I bought these when I got here.
Okay, all right, because those look like the kind that another station would buy, to save money. I'm just saying, spend a little extra cash on your headphones.
Obviously going to today. Hey, we got it. Nope, there it went again.
Dude,
it went again. It's going to be a very interesting show.
I'm sure engineering would love to see, even though those are yours, what you just did to try to make it work.
Don't tell me not to slam my headphones into the desk to make them work. And for the record, it worked-ish. Oh, it worked-ish.
Okay, all right.
Ladies, gentlemen, welcome in. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate 4 hours.
Hey, can you hear this?
I wish they were still broke.
I'm helping you test them.
I wish they were still broke. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. 4 hours of sports talk entertainment excellence starts right now. It is the day before the National Football League Draft. Tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. NFL Christmas, only a day away. And as previously stated, I don't know where the cats are going at 33. I don't know if the cats are going at 33. I have talked myself into the belief that it's prime trade up territory. Yesterday, I had a buddy of mine, big Carolina Panther fan. He's like, Rob Brown, actually, the move is to trade back. He said, if you're 33 and 39, and there's not a guy who jumps off the board, if there's not a guy that you are just in LUV love with at one of those spots, the smart moves to trade back because it is a draft.
I completely agree with him. I think that's the move to make. Do the Belichick thing there. I mean, again, next year is not going to be a good year. So compile some things, get a bunch of players as opposed to if there's not that one guy. If there's the run that you say there's going to be, and you being a knower of ball, there's that run, then that second tier is pretty big. So you can trade back and still get pretty good players.
I would say a couple of things. I would say first and foremost, a year of experience for an NFL player is wildly important. It's massively important. That first year getting into the league, especially if it's, I don't want to say a no pressure situation. Every year is a pressure situation, even for the worst National Football League teams. But especially in a year where the expectations aren't necessarily through the roof, I do think that...
Or like barely above the floor.
Yep. I do think that a year in an environment like that for a young cat can absolutely be a career difference maker. And so I'm not saying, you know, if there's nobody there, because I've mentioned it before, I'll mention it again. I think there is a wide receiver run that is going to happen in the first round. And I think it's going to happen very early in the first round. The problem is, I don't know that Carolina has enough firepower to be able to get into the first round where that run happens for that A-tier of wide receivers, the Malik Nabers, the Roma Dunzes, the Marvin Harrison Juniors. Those three guys, and I'm going to give you the first 16 picks of the Rob Brown Show mock draft later today. Ooh. But suffice to say, all three of those guys are off the board before the pick number hits double digits.
So how many picks would you have to compile to move back, in your opinion? If you can turn two into three, is that good enough? Or if you can turn two into four?
Which direction are you asking me to go in for who?
Backwards.
Carolina?
Yeah.
I number one, it's going to depend on... This is a question that's wildly difficult to answer because it's going to depend on a million variables to set the price. There's a million variables that set the price. You know how if you're talking about a product in a store, you were talking about the price of that product having to cover the manufacturing of it, the design of it, the creation of it, the transportation of it, the marketing of it, and the profit that the company needs to make to put that product in. The NFL is kind of like that, except instead of with draft pick compensation, except instead of looking at marketing and transportation and packaging and design and yada, 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 what I'm looking at is, all right, how many teams actually have the desire to move up? How many teams actually have the ability to move up? And how many teams are willing? Because let's say we get to 33 and there's a team that's looking at moving up and they're a team that's in the market primarily for an edge rusher. That's the position they're willing to move up for. Well, if there's a big run on wide receivers, as I predict there will be, this is also a very good year for edge rushers in the NFL draft.
Yeah,
so if you're looking for an edge rusher, and there's a big wide receiver run, which means there's not a big edge rusher run, then it maybe doesn't feel as imperative for me to get to 33 because some of the guys I thought would be off the board there aren't. So maybe I only need to go to 45 and have the same availability versus wide receivers. If the only position of need you have is wide receiver, if that is your above and away primary, and let's say we get to Kansas City on the clock at 32, you guys take Ladd McConkey off the board. So the next guys are Keon Coleman out of FSU, not in that top tier of prospects, in that second tier of prospects. But if you are desperate for a wide receiver, then Keon Coleman might be worth jumping to 33-4 or 33-4. But it's the balance of the move to 33 to get a wide receiver might be worth it, but is Keon Coleman worth it? There's a billion factors, which is why manning the phone on draft day as a GM has got to be the most difficult day of the year.
All I know is Dan Morgan said he's looking for some dogs. You can have one dog or you can have a pack of dogs. I'm more afraid of a pack of dogs, so you trade back and get a pack. Unless a wide receiver slips through that far. And I bet Kansas City would be willing to trade out of, you know, but what's one pick? Although you do know that they're probably going receiver.
Kansas City's absolutely going wide receiver. That's not even a question. That's a statement of fact. I guarantee it. It's one of the few teams in the first round that I absolutely guarantee.
I don't even know that they're there at 32. I still think they may trade up.
The problem for Kansas City, I think, is that
there's a receiver they can trade.
the speed wide receivers are off the board, I think that's what you're looking for.
There's a guy on the roster that can trade.
There's a guy they can trade. Is there anybody that is willing to trade for that guy?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. It takes two to tango.
Man, look at what Denver did. Everybody wants to tango.
Zach Wilson.
Yeah. Everybody wants to dance.
By the way,
we're not making it through the first hour with the door closed.
It's burning up in here.
We're just not doing that.
I put together the first 16 picks in my mock draft yesterday, and I am going to share those with you later on in the show.
Such a tease.
Was it a tease? I just said I'm going to do it during the show today.
Which is a teasing.
You want me to give them all that right now?
No.
Just jump into 16 right now?
No, that would be it's better to do it in another hour.
I know. So I got my first 16 picks of the mock draft. Now, I will tell you.
Why don't you give us one?
Caleb Williams to Chicago, number one overall.
There we go. Wow. Shocker.
Gasp. Aw. Shocker. Yeah. I loved yesterday when Ryan Poles was talking to Chicago media, and they're like, Ryan, do you know who your guy's going to be at number one overall? And he's like, you'll just have to stay tuned. Bro, Caleb Williams is minus 10,000 on the board. Thanks. I didn't know. Sorry. Ron, how do you feel about that? Yeah, pretty much. We know who number one is going to be. No question mark. I'm pretty sure, like to the tune of made a bet on it a number of weeks ago and will be rolling with that one for a while, I know who number two is going to be. You'll just have to stick around to find out. Now, I will tell you before we get to the 2024 Rob Brown Show mock draft that unlike last year, I did not do trades this year. I did not make trades. I am going to tell you as we go pick by pick through the first 16 picks of round number one, we will do the second 16 picks of round number two coming up tomorrow. I did not do
Charmy. Second of round one.
Yeah, what I say, second of round two?
Yeah.
Second of round one tomorrow. We'll do 1 through 16 today. We'll do 17 through 32 tomorrow.
I didn't know if the other picks were like behind a paywall. And if you want to find out my other picks,
subscribe to my OnlyFans where I read mock drafts to you in the nude. No, that's not true. I don't have an OnlyFans. I would have to pay money for that.
But if you did, it would be.
But if I did, I would read mock drafts in the buff.
Of course.
For sure. For sure. So I went 1 through 16. We are not going to do trades in the mock draft. In years gone by, I have done trades in the mock draft. You want to know what the problem was when I sat down yesterday? Because the first thing I did was I pulled up the list that I put together last week of the teams that I thought were most likely to make a trade up or a trade down in the first round. And as I sat yesterday and I started going through those teams again, I realized there are probably 10 to 12 teams in the first round that can move up or move down. And I'm talking starting at number three with New England. Number four, Arizona could make a move. The Jets could make a move. The G-Men could make a move. I came up yesterday with probably around a dozen NFL teams in the first round that could reasonably be, I don't want to say expected, but I would be completely and entirely unsurprised if they traded out of that spot. Completely and entirely unsurprised if they move back or up. Like I said, I think we're getting a trade at number three. Now, I am sure we're getting a trade at number four. At this point, I just believe, and I think it's wrong, and I hope that I am wrong. Based on everything I read when I got to number four in the mock draft selection process yesterday, the folks out in Arizona believe that Arizona is trading back. And it's not because they don't want Marvin Harrison Jr. They absolutely do. It is more about adopting the Lonzo philosophy of we can have one generational wide receiver or we can trade back, probably not even outside of the top 20 picks, have access to a pool of wide receivers and also stock up a healthy mass. Because, you know, you ask, what could Carolina get for number 33? I don't know. You know what I do know? I do know what Arizona can get for number 4 with Marvin Harrison Jr. on the board, or maybe not even for Marvin Harrison Jr. Because if you go QB, 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 1, 2, 3, now all of a sudden, despite the fact that I don't think it is going to happen, and despite the fact that I know it is an over-evaluation, we know how teams panic when they don't believe that they have their quarterback. We know how teams panic when they feel like their back's against the wall. They become wounded animals. And I've got to imagine there is going to be a team that is going to way overvalue J.J. McCarthy. And the next thing you know, even though he absolutely should not, all due respect, somebody jumps up to 4 and takes J.J. McCarthy off the board because he's the last of the top flight quarterbacks.
Come on, you know, you like me believe it's going to be, and they should go quarterback here, but wow, J.J. McCarthy's still on the board. Didn't see that coming.
I don't know that great one.
You mentioned Brady Quinn, and there have been other people, I think Aaron Rodgers too, if I recall, who just waited and waited and waited.
That is my... That's how it should play out moment.
All right, Brady Quinn or J.J. McCarthy, which one would you draft?
J.J. McCarthy.
So I'd go Brady Quinn.
I would not, and I'll tell you why. I actually watched.
Well, because I'm going to have to, I think their talent may be equal, so I'm picking an Ohio guy or a Michigan guy. So I'm going to go with the Ohio
guy. We know that when we're on the air, we don't take our fan caps off. I get it. J.J. McCarthy, and here's why.
Wait, mine's like sewn on. I don't know. I mean, okay.
I looked up some numbers yesterday. On 3rd and 6 or longer, I'd say that's a pretty important down and distance for a quarterback, right?
Yeah, I would
3rd and 6 or longer, J.J. McCarthy completed 73% of his passes, and 50% of those went for first downs.
When you took 10 all season, I mean, you know, especially the last 3 games.
And I will say that actually, shockingly, is not an invalid criticism, not... Shocking that you said it, shocking by how few the attempts were. But when the attempts were made, he was successful. Now, you could argue that he had a big assist because Blake Corum's behind him. But I would also make the point that if it is 3rd and 6 and they've got a running back who's averaging 5 a carry, I'm running a foundation defense at that guy, and I'm just going to go,
right.
We might give it up to Blake Corum. I'm not giving up a 3rd and 6 to J.J. McCarthy. And yet... J.J. McCarthy on 3rd and 6 or longer threw for 72%+ completion.
It's like in the NBA where we're going to shut that guy down. I mean, we're going to let that guy go, but we're going to shut everybody else down. You know he's going to get some points. It's easier to throw a high percentage when all the defense is playing the run, like you just said. When everybody's in the box and they think that you're going to run the ball, you're going to get some wide open receivers.
No, but I'm making the argument that in this specific situation, 3rd and 6 and longer, I'm making the argument if I'm a defense, I'm not covering up the run. I'm playing a base run defense. I'm covering up wide receivers, and I'm going, yo, if Blake Corum reels off 7 against the base defense, it sucks. We deserve to lose. I'm not letting J.J. McCarthy beat us. And yet, in that situation, J.J. McCarthy was very successful in clutch moments.
He's
on
perfect,
the flip side.
He's a perfect fit for the Giants. I hope they do take him so they can still be bad.
I talked to Chris Lewis yesterday, and he goes, Rob Brown, if we draft J.J. McCarthy at number 6, I'm going straight to Lowe's to buy one of those vacuum bags. I'm putting everything I own that's Giants blue in it, and it's going under the bed.
Good on him.
Yeah.
That burning the jersey thing is stupid.
No, he's just going to vacuum seal it for the foreseeable future.
I mean, he's got a shot of them being better later on, and you can bring that stuff back out, and it's well-preserved. Why not?
When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, the Chicago Bears are on the clock. Pick number 1 of the Rob Brown Show mock draft is next. It is the Fan Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Rob Brown Show mock draft begins right now. Now, ladies and gentlemen, and that means that the Chicago Bears are on the clock. The Chicago Bears, of course, hold the number one overall pick in this year's draft. They acquired that pick, of course, from the Carolina Panthers in the trade that gave Carolina the number one overall draft pick last year. They used it to select Bryce Young, the quarterback out of Alabama. Chicago jumps to number one overall this year. And with that, the Chicago Bears are on the clock. And great one, the pick is officially in. Shocking, I know. With the first overall selection in the 2024 The Rob Brown Show mock NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, University of Southern California.
You know, you said this yesterday, and I had never heard anyone say that. Now someone else is, he's drawn comparison to Patrick Mahomes. No, he hasn't. But oh, no, 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 like, no. Like three people?
He has. It doesn't make the comparisons right, okay. But he has drawn them.
All right. Okay.
This kid, depending on who you ask, is prototypical. And the improvisational talent behind him, you add on to the fact that he has got an arm that's really good. Do I think it is an all-time college football arm? No. But I don't really think there's a weak spot in where he can throw the ball. He can throw the ball down the field. He's got good mid-range throws. He's got good immediate throws. I'll tell you where there are two things that I get concerned about. The first is Caleb Williams does not have pinpoint accuracy. He's not the most accurate guy. He can get the ball to the area. He can get it there on a rope. He can get it there with finesse, but it's not going to be pinpoint accurate. And I think at the next level, that's going to be what ultimately hurts him a little bit. I would also say the comparisons that he is drawn to Patrick Mahomes, which again, let me be clear, I am not on board with. I'm not. Haven't been, won't be, stay off of them.
For those of you not on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and the X, I am rolling my eyes hard right now.
Lonzo, I just watched his eyes go up and then all the way back around. I think he saw his brain. That's how hard he rolled his eyes.
It was in there. It was distant, but I saw it.
The thing that I think is going to get Caleb Williams in trouble, the reason I do not believe that Caleb Williams is going to be the star that a lot of these draft profiles are attempting to make him out to be, is the fact that I think he leans too much onto the improvisational footwork.
You know what he does? He doesn't have to be a big star. He just has to be better than Justin Fields right away. Because if he's not, there's going to be lots of grumblings. Which is what fans
you're not,
do.
You're not but wrong. Still. You're not wrong. There will be, grumblings.
Like, it's like, okay, you chose this when we had that?
Yeah, I am going to say this. NFL fans as a whole, I'm going to need y'all to go ahead and stop assuming rookies are going to show up and be all pros. CJ Stroud's the exception, not the rule. He's the exception, not the rule.
There have been other rookies that are.
I'm not saying they don't. Good. I'm saying they are the exception, not the rule. The overwhelming majority of rookies who are thrown into the old baptism by fire scenario as a rook do not do what C.J. Stroud did. And let's also point out that, not to knock down C.J. Stroud, because I am a fan. Let us not forget that Anthony Richardson got hurt. The Colts were right there neck and neck with the Texans in that division until he went down. Let us not forget that C.J. Stroud did nothing to cause the embarrassing collapse of the Jacksonville Jaguars down the stretch, a collapse that took them out of that division title. And let us not forget that the Tennessee Titans were an embarrassment to the entire state last year. It was the rough equivalent of winning the NFC South, winning the AFC South. However, he did win it, and he did elevate guys around him. He's the exception, not the rule. If you expect Chicago fans, speaking of Chicago fans, by the way, Mario's, Hayden S. Mario, going to move to tomorrow. He had a family emergency yesterday, so he's in Indianapolis driving back this morning. He's going to join us on the air tomorrow. We will not just talk NBA playoffs with Mario, but we'll actually talk draft with him tomorrow as well. The thought to me is, I think that Caleb Williams needs to be a more controlled scrambler. I think he got to a point, and I understand why, playing for USC this year. I think he got to a point where scrambling, getting out of the pocket, moving around became his go-to. That don't work in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes scrambling is like the fifth option every given snap.
And it's ugly. It's still effective, but it's ugly. Yeah.
I don't care as long as it is effective. But I will say about Patrick Mahomes, for the reputation he has as an improvisational scrambling quarterback, there's not many times where Mahomes scrambles unnecessarily. There's not many times where you go, oh, he's seeing ghosts. Oh, he's running from ghosts out there. The majority of the time Mahomes takes off, it's the only decision he has left. He does not want to do it. I don't know that Caleb Williams has that mindset. And I think he spent so much time in that mindset that unless the Bears build a very structured offense around him and a structured offense that encourages him not to scramble, I worry he's going to overdo it. And, you know, we talked about, because I've already got one person who has said to me, Rob, wait a minute, you keep popping off on draft analysts and how if their only criticism of Jaden Daniels is he runs into tackles, how you can coach that out of him. Because I can't. I can coach you not to be an idiot. I can coach you not to run into the waiting shoulder pads of an all-pro linebacker. I can teach you that. It is harder to teach a guy that has a scramble-first mentality to break himself of that. It's hard to keep. It's one thing to teach a guy, I'm not saying don't run, I'm saying when you do run, slide, versus I'm telling you don't run. It's hard to do. I think this guy has everything that he needs to have to be a good NFL quarterback. Here, I'll give you the comparison. I think everything C.J. Stroud did in Houston, this guy can do in Chicago. I think this guy can absolutely compete in, probably not for a division, but that's more about Minnesota and Green Bay and Detroit than
Chicago
it was about the
AFC South. Fixed their other problems. They still can. No, he can't do the same thing that C.J. Stroud did.
Production-wise, he absolutely can. He's got DJ Moore. He's got Keenan Allen. He's got DeAndre Swift. He has one of the best receiving cores down to the backfield of any rookie quarterback in recent memory. He's got more. You know how much I've talked about how CJ Stroud got great help from his position players in Houston. Caleb Williams has better help in Chicago, and that says more about Chicago than it does about Houston.
I only have my GED in knowing a ball, but we'll see.
Is DJ Moore good?
Yeah.
Is Keenan Allen good?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Pro Bowler.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, DeAndre Swift is good. He's got as much help, if not more, as C.J. Stroud.
How's that offensive line?
going to get improved in this draft.
Is it? We'll see. We'll see. If they don't, then it doesn't matter how good your receivers are if your quarterback's lying flat on the back or they decide the only way to live is to run.
We'll talk about that. But when we come back, because we got 16 picks to run through. When we come back, on the clock go the number 2 overall selection, the Washington Commanders. Back after this with the number 2 selection in the Rob Brown Show mock draft next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Chicago Bears with the first overall selection in the 2024 The Rob Brown Show NFL mock draft selected Caleb Williams, the quarterback out of the University of Southern California, which moves the Washington Commanders onto the clock. The Commanders are a team that has got to figure out what to do at a number of different spots. Obviously, they have got themselves a new head coach. They bring in Dan Quinn, the former defensive Cowboy defensive coordinator and former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. First couple of years under Dan Quinn in the ATL, the Falcons weren't bad, but they hit the cliff very, very quickly in the, third year of Dan Quinn. Ended up moving on from Dan Quinn to go with Arthur. That failed miserably. Yada, yada, yada. They've got a bunch of needs. I don't think there is a bigger need for the Washington Commanders than offensive tackle. They are miserable at that position. They also need guard. They need cornerbacks. There's a lot of spots that the Commanders need an upgrade. Ladies and gentlemen, the pick is in. With the second overall selection in the 2024 The Rob Brown Show NFL Mock Draft, the Washington Commanders select Jaden Daniels, quarterback, Louisiana State University.
I will say, I was listening to the overnight show as I was getting ready for the show, and they were talking about how there is some friction between the two.
That
Jaden Daniels' visit with them did not go well, to the point where there's speculation that they might even move out of the pick.
That's very interesting. I had not heard that yet. It is interesting because I wonder where that friction comes from. Did it come from the general manager? Did it come from the head coach? Did it come from the ownership? Where did it come from? I would say, in response to that, there's another outside variable that has to be considered for this team. Not only do they have a new head coach, they have new ownership as well. They've got new guys from Dan Snyder's old office all the way down. And I do think there is some level of need for this team to get this pick right, whether it's a trade down or not. Now, I'm going to say this. If Washington did decide Jaden Daniels isn't the guy, they can get a treasure chest of picks for this selection, because Jaden Daniels is the second best quarterback in this draft. If you ask NFL profilers, I have made the argument, Jaden, and I stand on the argument, Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in this draft. I think that there's very, very little that Jaden Daniels can't do that Caleb Williams can. And I actually think there are things that Jaden Daniels can do that Caleb Williams can't. Jaden Daniels is much more comfortable staying in the pocket and attacking defensive spots, even through pressure, because he can hit windows. I think that Jaden Daniels is going to end up being a better quarterback than Caleb Williams in the long term.
All right, apparently there's a thing called Emoji Gate because of something that Jaden Daniels posted that was taken the wrong way. And I'm looking at a Fox Sports story talking about it, and there are several others.
Emoji gate.
Yes, because everything has to have a gate on it, including your yard, because you don't want those young kids walking on your lawn.
I had saw something about this the other day, and I'm going to be straight up with you, Zoe. I saw the term emoji gate, and I was like, nope, not doing it. Not reading that. But now I kind of feel like I have to. Now that it's been brought up here, I kind of feel like I have to. There were rumors, according to Ralph Vacciano from Fox Sports.
Hey, Ralphie.
Ralphie said that there's a belief amongst some in the league that Jaden Daniels was trying to force himself down in the draft order in order to end up with Minnesota because he believes that he would have more success with the Vikings than the Commanders. I mean, he's going to have a better position group with the Vikings than the Commanders. I'm not going to argue that. But this, is this not like peak off-season stuff right here? Emoji game.
I don't know. Much like unfollowing a team, social media has become such a big part of everything now. There may be a little more smoke to it.
Apparently, Jaden Daniels made some sort of post where he threw an emoji up that people thought was maybe a little bit disrespectful to the Commanders. I saw that. I ignored it. I don't care. I don't think there's a world in which the Commanders are going to pass up on the guy who is very clearly, at the worst, the second best quarterback in the NFL draft because he put a thinking emoji on a social media post.
I'm not trying to get you to rethink your pick because we talk year after year about the smokescreen and everything that goes up. But to what end? I mean, why would this be made public by other teams to make it look like? I mean, unless they would be willing to trade out of the pick.
That's why.
I mean, that's the only thing.
The thought is there's no player in any draft that I can't come up with a price of draft picks that I'm willing to risk that player turning into an all-timer in return for X amount of draft picks. There's just not. Ricky Williams, even before he got to New Orleans, was less valuable, even if he turned into an all-pro, than the amount of picks that Mike Ditka gave up to get that guy that year. The joke about Mike Ditka being a joke in New Orleans was never about Ricky Williams, because Ricky Williams actually was a fine running back. He was fine. I don't mean fine like that's a fine run. I mean he was fine.
You don't mean like, oh, he fine.
He fine. No, I mean like he was fine. He was fine. It was the fact that there was no running back that was worth the freaking Brinks truck of draft picks that Mike Ditka gave away to move up into that slot.
Ditka did look good with the dreads, though. I thought that was a good
one. Hilarious SI cover. Still not worth the picks, right? So for Washington, the question mark is effectively, where do you value the upside of Jaden Daniels versus the picks you can get? And if there is a belief floating around the league right now that the Commanders have some sort of beef with Jaden Daniels, what does that inspire GMs to do?
Or that Jaden Daniels has beef with them and doesn't want to go there.
Absolutely.
And there's speculation. He posted what he posted, hoping that they pass on him so he can go somewhere else.
Absolutely. Either way. And by the way, if I'm the Washington Commanders, cool, let people believe that, right? Hashtag smokescreen season. Let people believe that, because what that's going to do is create a spot where all of a sudden Minnesota's GM is on the phone. The New York Giants GM is on the phone. there's a litany of NFL teams that are interested in a quarterback but don't believe they're in a spot to get one. And if they go, all right, Washington cannot draft Jaden Williams there. They cannot draft this guy. They've got to back out of that pick.
Jaden Daniels.
And we also know that there's going to be a bunch of teams competing. What you want, as you do in any negotiations, is you want that team to start as close to where you want them to end up as possible. You want their negotiating start to be way shifted towards what you think is acceptable, as like a minimum acceptable price. Because the closer they are to you, the more you can drag them over. So if I can already have them in thinking that this is the guy, or for us, I guess, in this case, it isn't the guy. And I also have the rest of the league believing that they've got a chance because, all right, Washington is absolutely trading out of that. And we know that there's a lot of teams that are going to fall head over heels for Jaden Daniels. We got to make a stellar offer here. But it's a quarterback. I don't feel the same if Jaden Daniels is off the board. I don't feel the same if this is the race for Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers or John Brooks or Joe Alt or whoever else. But it's a quarterback race. It is a quarterback race. And that's going to make a lot of teams, I think, more willing to start their negotiations closer to Washington. All of that being said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And I think that Washington would end up wanting a Ricky Williams-style, Mike Ditka-style treasure chest of picks in order to move off of Jaden Daniels, because I very much believe that they feel the way I feel about him, which is this kid is the real deal. This kid is the future. So with the number one overall pick, the Bears going Caleb Williams, the quarterback out of the University of Southern California. With the number two pick, the Washington Commanders stay put, and they take Jaden Daniels, the quarterback, out of LSU. As a player, there's really not much that I don't like about this kid. He is a phenomenal athlete. He is, to me, very football smart. One thing that I think that he does better than Caleb Williams, I think that Jaden Daniels diagnoses defenses better than Caleb Williams. I think part of the reason that Caleb Williams finds himself on the run so much, I don't think he has pre-snap recognition like Jaden Daniels does. Jaden Daniels may very well know I'm running before he snaps the football, but if he does, it's because he's looked across as the defense, he's used his motion as a weapon, and he's gone, that linebacker's bailing out. And if that linebacker bails out and I roll coverage left to cap off that defensive end, I got an alley out there because the next guy is going to be a cornerback and I'm going to send Malik on the nine to get him the hell up out of there. I think he's got phenomenal pre-snap recognition. That makes him dangerous. I spent more time than I recognize, than I reasonably should have last night, looking at draft profiles. Let me read you the compiled 5 points that I found that are critiques of Jaden Daniels' game that were most common from profile to profile. That he's got a slender frame, which leads to durability concerns. That's fair.
Yeah, but I think you would think college would have helped him put on some weight.
It did, and you will also, I think, see the guy when he gets to the NFL, and he's got tens of millions of dollars riding on it, potentially hundreds. I think my guy can bulk up. But even if he doesn't, durability concerns, yes. I'm also looking at other guys around the league that have that same frame, and they're fine. Am I worried if he's taking too much pressure? Yes. I think, as I mentioned, Washington's needs include both offensive tackle and guard. If I'm Washington, I'm drafting Jaden, and every pick the rest of the way is every one of them's going to the offensive line. Every single one of them.
The second most common critique is that he does not have the zip on the football that Caleb Williams has. This is the only fault that I find in Jaden Daniels' game. He can put a ball on a rope on an out route, but it's not as strongly thrown of a football as Caleb Williams is. That's the one fault that's an actual football fault that I agree with. He runs into tackles. I agree with that. But again, I can coach a kid out of being a dumbass. You see that big guy over there that's wearing a different shirt than you? When he gets close to you, go down. Go down. It's real simple. It's not that complicated. When that guy's over there and he's running at you, go down.
All right, I'm going to disagree with you here. When it's instinct, so you're counting on intellect to fight your instinct, and some people can't get past that.
Some people can't. This kid's a smart kid. This kid's not an idiot. There's one part of his game that's dumb. He's not an idiot. Let me put it this way. A lot of this, as we have mentioned, rolling the dice. I'm rolling the dice. Jaden Daniels is smart enough to realize, oh, that's Patrick Queen. That's Willie Gay. I should probably hit the deck. I think he can figure that out.
Yeah, but I think as a quarterback and as anyone who touches the ball, you have that in your head. Oh, just one move, I'm past this guy.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
He's going to need to take some hits before he realizes that the speed of the NFL is different.
Oh, for sure. Welcome to the preseason, young man. One of the other weaknesses that I read in his draft profile is that he leaves fades short. Not nines, not streaks, not goes, not down the field routes, but fades. When he's got to hit a guy on the outside shoulder who is fading off to the sideline, he leaves that short. That 90% of the time is the result of a guy who is on the back foot when he releases the ball, right? When you're releasing the ball on a fade route specifically, really any deep route, but on a fade route specifically, you're going to start on the back foot, but as the ball's releasing, you are pushing off the back foot to generate more momentum forward that transfers into your arm, and it gives it that little bit of extra cook in the air to get it there. If a guy is throwing off the back foot on a particular pattern, it means he knows how to throw the ball correctly, but on that pattern, for whatever reason, he's not adapted to it. I think he can. I think he will. We'll talk more about that. We got Caleb Williams off the board at number one to the Chicago Bears. We got Jaden Daniels off the board, number two to the Washington Commanders. We're going to do 14 more picks over the course of the day. We got your water cooler cheat sheet next. Then we move on to picks 3, 4, 5, and 6 in the next hour of the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Before we get there, we go here.
The Minnesota Timberwolves took a 2-game lead over Phoenix with a 105-93 win last night. Jaden McDaniels dropped 25, and every starter for the T-Wolves scored double-digit points. The Pacers leveled off their series with Milwaukee at 1 game apiece with 125-108 win over the Bucks. Pascal Siakam led the way with 17 on 16 of 23 shooting, and the Pacers shot 56% as a team. Dallas also leveled their series at 1 with the Clippers winning 96-93. Luka Doncic recorded 32 points with 9 assists and 6 rebounds, while Kyrie Irving had 23. State of South Carolina got another champion last night as for former South Carolina Gamecock Trick Williams defied the odds and defeated the Mad Dragon Ilya Dragunov to become the NXT champion. Congratulations from all of us here at the Rob Brown Show, and whoop that trick. Tune in tomorrow for Wire to Wire live from Dave and Buster's for the NFL Draft.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio.
Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds.
What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds?
Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs.
Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.